thing I wanted to mention was that, as with last year, where I just released a new version of hyperdrive.el, and it depends on the latest release of transient.el. And so if you are going to install this package, make sure that you restart your Emacs after you install it if you aren't already up to date with transient, which was released yesterday. Otherwise, this latest version of transient.el updates the transient prefix EIEIO class, and it won't work unless you restart Emacs.
Okay, well, good to know. I think that's a small price to pay to be on the bleeding edge of bleeding edges.
All right, I see there's a question here. Let me see if I can read it.
Yeah, sure. Do you want me to field it to you, or do you want to read it?
Oh, sure. Go ahead. I'd love to hear you read it.
Sure, thank you. So first question. Hi there. Thank you for the talk. I enjoyed watching it. I tried this tool last year and it seemed to work well, but I don't know anyone who actually uses it. Network effects are tricky. Do you know of any public shares people can join to try this tool out properly? Thank you.
Network effects are indeed tricky. Yeah. That's kind of part of the purpose of the peer graph, is to make it easier to discover peers in a way that's more reliable and consistent than just somebody puts a public key on Reddit and then it's lost unless somebody
right.
finds it. But the public keys that I know of are, there's the public key for the Ushin hyperdrive, which is basically just the same content that's on the website mirrored to a hyperdrive. And then there are a few other ones. There's like a Haifa.coop has some webzine content accessible via Hyperdrive and also via IPFS. And then Mauve Signweaver has a blog that's also available on Hyper. So that's blog.mauve.moe. But besides that, that's kind of the purpose of this peer graph thing, is to make it easier to discover other peers.
Yeah, to make it also very visual in a way, because, you know, I personally, it's funny because it reminded me of talks that I did in the past about the trust system for PGP keychains, because at the end of the day, you know, this trust system, whether you trust someone absolutely or relatively, the blocking system, it feels very related. Any kind of a chain of trust like this feels very reminiscent, obviously, but it felt very nice that for you had a dynamic display of this web of trust, whereas for me, I had to make fancy diagram in ticks in LaTeX just to make sure that people understood what was actually going on.
Yeah, one thing I want to point out is just the difference in utility for something like the PGP web of trust versus this kind of network of peers is, if I understand right, the main purpose of Web of Trust is to identify that a certain public key is actually created by the person that they claim to be. So you have
yes.
a way of identifying that a key actually matches like a government identity. Whereas yep. this kind of network of peers has nothing to do with authenticating a key or associating a key with an identity, like a government identity. The purpose is exclusively just to get more peers, to be able to discover more peers who have things that are worth reading.
It's a different take on the concept, but you know, even though the concept might be the same, you know, I find there's a welter of things that can be done thanks to this, because as you said, you trust someone to send you a file that is trustworthy. Well, you know, with PGP, it's mostly about communication, but about file sharing, it just opens up completely new avenues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have anything else to add?
Well, and about that, I think one of the barriers to the PGP web of trust is that it required getting together to have key parties to meet people and verify identities. Whereas with this kind of thing, yeah. there's no need to do that, because, you know, so long as your content is interesting, doesn't matter that, you know, you're not who you claim to be, or that you don't even claim to be anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, as you mentioned, it's not about identifying people. It's just about identifying value in a way in the content that people share. It has nothing to do with verifying their actual identity. But again, it's the same technology. It's the same understanding, but for different applications, which is lovely because programming is fractals all over. The same problems repeat themselves and the same solutions shows up for widely different scenarios, which is always good.
Yeah.
Anything else?
One more thing. Yeah, one more thing is that I wanted to give some kudos to some of the other projects that inspired the PeerGraph work. One of them is Adam Porter's Org Graph View, which is a tool for visualizing different nodes in an org file and how they link to one another. He did the pioneering work to figure out how to render interactive graphs with GraphViz. And so we worked together on it and kind of tacked down the last parts that weren't working correctly. And so this is inspired a lot. The user interface is inspired a lot by Adam's work. And then also the idea of having people that you mark as blockers and block is inspired by another project called TrustNet by Alex Cobley. I can type in the link there.
Alex, how do you spell it? Cobley?
I'll type it in here.
Thank you.
And I think the link is cbl.org/trustnet. I think that is it. I'm not totally sure. But yeah.
Okay, well, that's very good, and thank you for giving credits to the inspiration, because again, nothing is done without context, and it's always nice in the free software world to acknowledge people who have influenced us, because it's very nice when people start contributing, maintaining software, publishing stuff, that they actually start collaborating with people who've inspired them, which is a nice way to climb over the shoulders of giants, which this community likes so much. All right, moving on to the next question. We have about 7 more minutes for questions, so we're still good. Second question. One use case for this is sharing and building upon second brains, i.e. Zettelkasten, that Denote or Orgrim actually doing. But a blocker for me wanting to make one public is wanting to use the block list or whitelist so that I can make them containing. Why did I go for quarantine rather than containing? I guess my brain went to a dark place from the 2020s. So I can make them containing useful information for only me while also being useful in public sense.
Yeah, so I think your question is about how to keep some of the content of your Zettelkasten private and only have certain parts of it be public. If your desire is to only share certain files in your Zettelkasten, then you can use the hyperdrive mirror command that we demonstrated in the Emacs 2023 talk. In short, it lets you specify either a regular expression that matches only some of the files that'll get uploaded from a directory of files on your machine, and only the files that match that regex will be put into the hyperdrive and shared with the world. But it doesn't have to be a regex, it could be a lambda, so it could match based on file size or modification time or really whatever you like. So I hope that answers your question.
No, great. And I personally, as someone who loves tinkering with my ELISP, I particularly like the ability to specify things with a lambda, because it just opens up the ceiling of the possibilities with interactions between different parts of software. And, you know, as I have worked significantly on Orgrim, I could definitely see interactions with lambdas here to make sure that we can send and share files based on the filter list that is incrementally added to thanks to those lambdas. So thanks for this.
One more thing I want to add about that is that that same question of being able to upload only certain files while leaving others to be private was something that was inspired by Carl Voigt. I had an email thread with him in which he talked about how he uses his file tags project to organize his files, and he'll put a public tag on the files in his org database that he wants to have be published to his website. And so you could very easily just set a regular expression that matches that public tag, and then all of the other files would be not shared.
Yeah, and I misclicked. I was talking to production for a second. First time it happens today, so I think this is a testament to the level of tightness. But yeah, as you were saying, whatever heuristics you want is actually a good thing. I think people are a little antsy because they tend to brain dump into their Orgrom Zettelkasten / Enote, and they really don't want some of their personal notes being out there. And well, if you are worried about this, I think learning some ELISP and implementing some Lambda function that allows you to filter with intention might be the best solution for you. So I hope we've covered the question as well as we could have. Next question is more about an idea about trying Hyperdrive to distribute work. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, you could distribute whatever you wanted. I think that'd be a great idea.
Okay, great. Moving to the next question, and we have about 3 minutes, so I think we'll cover the last two questions and we move on to the next talk after that. Could you comment on the visualization thing, org visualization, and your experience with this type of content in buffers and the various possibilities, SVG, etc.?
Sure. So one thing that we worked on was I added a patch that was merged as part of Emacs 30, which fixes the way that image maps scale when images are scaled. So as of Emacs 30, if you zoom in on an image or shrink an image or rotate an image, now the image map, which is the overlay, so it's not actually an overlay, but it's, so to speak, it's an overlay that allows the images to be clickable based on, you know, where the actual visual display is. You can also click on it or have help echo. And as of Emacs 30, now that scales with the image itself. The code to make that work on previous versions of Emacs, you can see the advice that we added in Hyperdrive SBB view, that file in hyperdrive.el. If you're curious to see how you could polyfill that code, so to speak, to make it work on previous versions of Emacs before Emacs 30. But it works great. The way that this works is we generate a graphviz string that will be sent to graphviz to render an SVG and also render a CMAPX string. We pipe those back into Emacs, and then we generate the image map from the CMAPX file, and then we put that image map with the SVG and we render it in a buffer. Works pretty well. You can check out the code to see exactly how it works.
Okay, great. Well, sadly, I think we are a little short on time to cover the last two questions. So, Joseph, if you want to take a little bit of time maybe to answer the questions in the BBB, you know, you can just do this, even though the stream will be moving to the next talk. But I'll use the opportunity to thank you both for the talk and for your answers, because they were very insightful. And thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, Leo. Enjoy the rest of the
Any conference. Last words thank in about 15 seconds?
Thank you. I'm grateful for your taking all this time to make this conference possible.
Well, you know, the conference would be nothing without the speakers coming and chatting. So you are the ones to thank. I mean, we like the thanking, obviously, but it's mostly you doing the work. All right. Thank you, Joseph. We'll see you later.